Welcome to the sermon podcast of South Hills Church in Costa Mesa. My name is Chris Kretzu, and I'm the campus pastor here. Thank you for carving out the time to listen to this today. I hope that you will be encouraged and challenged, and ultimately that you'll have a deeper sense of God's love for you. I'll be back after the message is over, but until then, I hope that you enjoy this episode. Well, good morning. How are you guys? Woo! Yes. It's a holiday weekend and you guys are ready to party. So here we are at church. My name is Chris. I'm the campus pastor. Thanks for being here. It is a holiday weekend. I know there's all kinds of plans for food and barbecues and hopefully some sun at some point. And this week, I guess I should say, is actually the 10-year anniversary of, I learned something important 10 years ago. I was on staff at another church, and our apartment complex where we live, we used to have a pool, and every 4th of July, we'd have this huge pool party, invite all of our friends over until our evil landlord took our pool away from us. The audacity is right. But we would have this huge group of people over, and then we would ride bikes down into Newport, and we would be at Castaways Park. We would overlook the Back Bay, and you could see fireworks there, plus like two or three other fireworks shows. And then we would ride back on our bicycles, which if you've ever been in Costa Mesa, and your city may be the same, it's like a war zone. There are mortars and rockets red glaring all over the place. So it was really fun, always a ton of fun, but I had just lived in Costa Mesa for a couple years, and so this is the second 4th of July, and there's just these massive fireworks going off all over the place. And of course, there's signs everywhere that say fireworks are illegal in Costa Mesa, or there's only certain types of fireworks that are legal in Costa Mesa. And so everything's going off, going crazy, and one of the friends that was at my house, he had these fireworks that I found out later he brought from Mexico. And then, so we decided, hey, well, let's set these off. It's just some bottle rockets. This is nothing compared to these, like, cannons that other people are shooting. So, you know, being a good host, I took the bottle rockets and crossed the street and was setting off these bottles. And it was great until I set off some directly in front of three of Costa Mesa's finest undercover police officers. And we actually have a photograph of that moment because all of my friends and family were laughing, taking pictures of me as I pled ignorance to the cops. And they were very, very kind. And I think that they could tell I was a man of God. I think I was able to convince them that I had no idea. And so they actually let me off. But what a great treat. So I've never lit off fireworks again unless I've bought them at the fireworks stands in Costa Mesa. It's like it's not even worth rolling the dice anymore. It's not worth it. And so now, I grew up in North Carolina, and we would light off fireworks. And there was they were illegal there too, now that I think about it. And we would also go south of the border, but it was South Carolina. And we would drive directly 1 mile over, and there was fireworks stands. Anyway, but I love fireworks. And so I go every year, and I spend a little bit more money than I should at these fireworks stands in Costa Mesa. And it's so much fun for me because I know I'm not going to get it wrong. It's like I can't get the wrong ones when I'm at those stands. And the reason why I tell that story is, one, okay, you can take the picture of me and the police down. Ed, I know you appreciated that one. But there is this, we're starting this new series called Noise Canceling, and we're going to spend all of the month of July talking about how can we hear God's voice? What does it look like for us to listen to our Heavenly Father? What does it look like for us to get direction, wisdom, clarity? How do we get answers to our prayers? Yes, no, wait, go, maybe. What does it look like for us to do that? And before we spend a few weeks talking about the different ways that God speaks to us, I think it's really important that we set up a little bit of a filter, because God speaks through a number of ways, a massive amount of ways. We can't even count the number of ways that God speaks to us. And I think that we can all agree it sounds like it can be dangerous. Or maybe you've actually heard people say things on behalf of God that you were kind of like, oh, I'm not totally sure. And it can be easy for us to say, you know, like, I feel like God told me or God prompted me. I grew up in church, so we heard these types of things all the time. God was speaking to me. The Lord impressed upon my heart. I felt led by God to whatever it might be. About 19 years ago, I was dating a girl, and we had been dating for a little while. It wasn't my wife. This was pre-Ez. Yeah. Yeah. She booed me in the first service also. So supportive spouses there. But we had been dating for a little while, and I really liked this girl. And this guy that was a part of the church I was attending at the time, he came up to me one Sunday, and he said, "Hey, I just want you to know, like, God told me that you guys are supposed to be married." And I was like, yes! I was pumped. We had just started dating. I was like head over heels. And then as time went on, there was red flag after red flag and problem after problem. And it was like clearly not a healthy relationship. But God said we were supposed to be married. That's what that person told me. And so I just ignored the issues. I ignored the challenges and just was like, you know what? Not everything is easy. And I spent so much more time in that relationship because I just took what this guy said on behalf of God, as God speaking it to me. And there was no filter. And part of it was I was young and I wasn't really thinking about it very much. But what does it look like for us to be intentional? What does it look like for us to be maybe even skeptical at times of who is speaking to us and saying, you know what, I feel like God's telling me something or wants to tell you something? What does it look like for us to be really cautious if we were to maybe communicate that to someone else? Like, I really feel like God wants you to know. I feel like God would want you to hear. How can we be cautious about this? We need a filter. We need a way to say, hey, what does it look like for me to ensure that I'm not just saying my own preference, my own desire, or I'm not just hearing my own preference or my own desire, but this is actually something from God? How do we even know if something is from God? Does God speak to people still, or is that something that's just made up? Are we just trying to find a way to justify our own desires or our own kind of personal preferences? These are great questions, and we're going to spend time over the next month talking about it. And I think it's important for us to recognize that the reality is that almost every single person really, at their core, wants to believe that there is someone or something out there paying attention to them. You know, there's an old saying, there's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. And really, it's communicating this idea of, like, when you're in the throes of battle, everyone is hoping that God is there with them on their side. Maybe a more understandable or a more realistic option for you and I would be there's no such thing as an atheist in a cancer wing of a hospital. There's times when we get diagnosis. There's times when our relationships fall apart, when we're faced with massive things that we know we have no control over. There's no way I can make this go. There's no way I can fix this. There's no way I can heal that. And there's this peace in all of us. Christians, yes, but I think even people that are skeptics and maybe even atheists might admit that at times they hope, they pray that there is something, someone out there, powerful, moving, and even speaking to them. This is something that I really believe that all of us long for. There's a passage in the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. It's a couple of verses, and it's really one of the most important passages to the Jewish faith and to the nation of Israel at that time. It's Deuteronomy chapter 6, and it says this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength," which may sound familiar because Jesus quoted this as the greatest commandment. Then in verse 6 it says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." Now this collection of verses is something that came to be called the Shema. And it was a prayer that Jewish people would pray each morning and each night. And this word Shema, really, kind of literally the base definition of it is to hear, to listen. And it was this prayer that they would pray each morning and each night with the understanding, with the assumption that God had spoken and that God is continuing to speak. And I think for us, you know, there is an aspect of us that I think at a very base level, we believe that God speaks to us, but I'm not sure how many of us might say, yeah, I hear from God on a regular basis. I expect God to speak to me. I expect to get clarity. I expect to get an answer. I expect to get maybe a path that I'm supposed to move towards, to move on. But there was this assumption that they held on to, this belief that God had spoken and is still speaking, and that they might miss out on it. They might not hear it if they're not looking for it, if they're not waiting for it, expecting it. And if they're right, and if God has spoken and is speaking, then learning to hear from God is the most important thing that we could do as Christians. Learning, what does it mean for me to hear from God? How can I hear what God wants from me? How can I hear what God wants from me in my relationships or in my day-to-day life or in my career or in my emotional health or spiritual health? How can I hear what God wants from me? This is a crucial component of what it would mean for us to be Christians. And so we're going to be spending time talking about this over the next few weeks. And as we prepare for that, I want to take a minute and just look at a couple questions of why is it difficult to hear from God? Why is it challenging? Why do we maybe not hear from God as much as we would like to? The first reason for this is because God doesn't, for the most part, speak audibly the way that we speak. There are times, there's examples throughout the scripture of a voice, God having a voice. I know people that feel like they have heard the voice of God. Even in my life, the most clear moment in my life following Jesus that I can say, you know what, I know exactly what God said to me in this moment. I was by myself in my car. So I actually don't even know if it was out loud or not. It was that clear to me. And it was at a really broken, low point of my life. I had kind of lost my belief in God and had turned and was at that point just saying, well, if this isn't true, then what does it look like for me to experience fulfillment, meaning, purpose, which really just turned into a search for happiness. And all of the things that we look for happiness in eventually lead us down a road that is not bringing us happiness. And I was at a really low point in my life. It was about midnight. I was in the parking lot of a Starbucks in Norco, California. That's how low of a low point this was. Just kidding. But I, in that moment, and I was like devastated, just literally crying by myself in my car because of how everything just felt absolutely upside down and dark. And I can remember it as clear as the moment that it happened. I felt God speak to me in some way, whether it was just in my mind or my heart, whether it was audible, I don't know. But I remember the words. He said, "You are better with me than you are without me." And I came back to Christianity just because I wanted to be better. It was totally selfish. It wasn't because I was in love with God. It wasn't because I believed everything. It was because I knew that I could never have it on my own. I could never figure it out on my own. And that moment is seared into my memory. I get the chills thinking about it. I don't know if you can see. If you're watching online, zoom in. But it's seared into my memory. It's seared into my heart is this moment where I hear so clearly. And honestly, I have never heard God that clearly since. I've heard God speak in a lot of different ways. I felt God nudge, prod. You know, he's spoken through people, through situations, in a lot of different ways. So what does it look like for us to figure this out? Because it's not always audible. In the same way that there's a million different ways that we communicate with each other, there is just as many, there's even more ways that God can communicate with us, that God does communicate with us. And when we assume it has to look a specific way, not only do we miss out, but at times we actually keep others from being able to hear from God's voice because we have kind of identified the okay ways to hear and the not okay ways to hear. I do premarital with some couples, and one of the things that we talk about is our faith and what is it that we believe and how do we encourage each other in our relationship with Christ inside of our marriage. And so one of the things that we talk about that a lot of people, especially religious people that have spent a lot of time in church, we have a very specific framework for how we think that God always or most often does things. And for a lot of people that have spent a lot of time in church and this is a priority for them, they feel like, man, you can't be close with God unless you're sitting in a seat, singing, raising your hands, laughing at all of Chris's very funny jokes, all these, you know, there's like a very narrow, like this is how and when you can hear from God. And A, my jokes are great. B, this is a way. But there's other ways. There's some people that feel closest to God when they are alone, in silence, in solitude. There's other people that feel closest to God when they're out in nature, hiking, camping. You know, there's all these different avenues. And do you know what I love is that every one of those avenues is actually affirmed in the scripture. There's examples and pictures of this. Every one of those is a way that God speaks. And none of them are the way that God speaks. And so we have to be intentional and allow people to pursue this journey and experience the fullness of not only God's love, but also how God wants to communicate and interact with us. It shows up as we serve people who are in need in our community. It shows up as we sit in service. It shows up as we're listening to a song on our radio during the... I mean, it shows up so many different ways. And for us to assume that if it's not audible, then he's not speaking is going to limit our ability to hear his voice. The second thing that often gets in the way of us hearing from God is that our lifestyles, our environments, and our culture are all incredibly noisy. This is me to a T. I live 7 miles from here, and I have like the perfect song to listen to every day when I drive to work. And it's different depending on the day, but in my mind and the way that I live, I love music. I always have music on, and even if it's a 5-minute drive, there's going to be a great song for that 5-minute drive. Amen. There's like hardly ever silence in my life. And you know, the reality is that it's kind of uncomfortable when there is silence. When I'm alone with my thoughts, you know, when I have a space, and it's not even just my own preference, but the speed of life, the fact that I've got an 8 and a 12-year-old, the fact that they're on summer break and ready to be entertained constantly, the fact that there's noise pollution all around us. I mean, right now we're sitting underneath an airport. You know, like there's planes flying overhead constantly. There's all kinds of noise and chaos. And oftentimes it's just so noisy that we can't even bring ourselves to a stillness to be able to sleep. There's two kind of primary strains, I guess, if you will, of monks. This is interesting to me, and so now you have to hear it. There's two kind of primary strains. One of them, they're actually not monks, they're called friars, and they come out of the line of St. Francis. And St. Francis really believed that the best way to hear God and to experience God most fully was to live a life of poverty. You could only live off of what was given to you. And to live a life of silence and solitude and prayer. And so the friars in the St. Francis tradition, they spend as much time as possible in silence alone. And this is how they connect with and hear from God. And it is beautiful. And sometimes can sound like a little bit of a nightmare for people like me. And then there's this other tradition from St. Benedict, the Benedictine monks. And they believe, yes, silence, solitude, prayer, these things are crucial and God speaks to them. But they also were passionate about work and what they did in their communities and their actions. And they believe that God actually spoke through their work and what they were doing as well. And I say that because God speaks to both. If this was one of the end of the spectrum versus the other, God is more than capable of speaking through both. And my invitation, or maybe my question for you and I would be to say, hey, do we maybe need to prioritize a little bit of silence and find just a couple minutes alone, a couple minutes of solitude? Or maybe for some of us, who it's very easy to be alone and quiet, we need to start to learn, how can I listen for God's voice in real time at the speed of life? in my job, with my family, in my community. There's so many different ways that God speaks to us. And I think for a lot of us, our approach to hearing God speak is similar to our approach with getting in shape or pursuing fitness. It's the sense of, if I buy a membership, is that enough? Okay, if I go once a week, do I have to do anything else at home? Do I have to change? Do I have to make any other adjustments? It's like, we want it to be as simple as possible, as easy and low commitment, low time as possible. And for us in our faith, what does it look like to say, hey, this is something that I want. I want to hear God speak to me. But how many of us have actually reorganized our time or our priorities or our resources to actually make that a possibility? Or is it just like, man, it'd be really nice? And so many of us, the moments when we most want to hear God speak are like the emergency moments. It's the phone a friend moment. It's the last resort type of moment. It's so important for us to recognize that we frequently are in a hurry to hear from God, but He is rarely in a hurry to speak to us. I think God is consistently speaking, calling to us, speaking over us, inviting us deeper, encouraging us forward. I think it is a consistent flow of communication from our Heavenly Father. And I think that for the majority of us, we are unaware until a specific moment, and then we need it to be loud and clear and fast. And I'm not sure that God is in a rush in that way. I'm not sure that God can rush. So if anything, or almost anything, can be a message from God, how do we know if it is or not? I want to take us through a little bit of a filter, and we've talked about some of these verses before. They're really close to my heart. But what does it look like for us to be intentional and cautious with what we are speaking to other people, and also intentional and cautious with how we are filtering things from other people? I want you guys to do this with me. When I preach on a Sunday, I want you to actually think about it. I don't want you just to believe everything I say. I want you to think, pray, look at the scriptures on your own, continue to learn. None of us, I mean, in any other space, we don't just believe everything that we hear. We always have some sort of skepticism, hopefully a healthy amount, but for a lot of people, it's an unhealthy amount of skepticism of everything. But even in this room, I want us to know, how can I be sure if what Chris is saying is actually healthy, true, appropriate, right? And this is what it looks like for us. In Hebrews chapter 1, that's where I want to start. Hebrews 1, verse 1, it says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. And the people that would have been reading this letter when it was written, they would have been like, yeah, absolutely. I mean, God spoke through a burning bush. There was like a fire finger writing on the wall. God spoke through a donkey. God spoken through angels. He's spoken through, yeah, it showed up a lot of different ways. And then in verse 2, he says, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the, what's that word? Exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Now, I love this passage for a number of reasons, and we could spend a lot of time, and I don't have a lot of time to spend on it. But the writer of Hebrews is telling us that God is most clearly being heard through his Son. And it's not that Jesus is like a different kind of version of God. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. All of the beauty and the brightness of who God is shining through Jesus. And Jesus isn't just like a version or kind of like God or like a more loving version of the kind of angry Heavenly Father. Jesus is the exact representation of who God is, of God's being, sustaining all things by his powerful word, which over and over again through Scripture, we're reminded that Jesus is not only the Son of God, but he's the Word of God. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning The Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. There is a sense for us of understanding that Jesus is the most clear picture of who God is. And if we want to know, if we want to understand, if we want to get clarity on who God is or what God desires, the best way is to look at Jesus. And then in Matthew 28, some of the last things that Jesus said to the disciples, he says in verse 18, it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to the church.'" All authority on heaven and earth has been given to your pastor. No. Given to your mother, who is very holy and has a lot of opinions on how you're living your life. No. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to the Bible. No. All authority on heaven and on earth is given to Jesus. Jesus is the source. Jesus is the filter for us to go through. And here's what we need to know when we look at these ideas, when we trace this through the scripture, is that Jesus is truth personified. And if something contradicts Jesus, then it is not from God. And Jesus said this in 1,000 different ways, in 1,000 different spaces. He talked to Philip in the Gospels, and he said, "Philip, why do you keep asking for me to show you the Father? Have you seen me? If so, then you've seen the Father." There's another part where he talks about how I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other avenue. There is no other way to God except through me. It all continues to point back to who Jesus is. And I think for a lot of us, we want to find scriptures, and we are good at finding scriptures to support our preferences. There's a term for this. It's called proof texting. And you can Google, "Find me a verse that will allow me to fill in the blank." And I don't have to tell you, because you know, you've heard those pastors and preachers, you've seen that on the news, you've experienced that before. But there's a filter that we're continually pointed back to, and it's Jesus. And that's why later on in Hebrews, the writer says in verse 1, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith." And the challenges and the struggles, the sins that you wrestle with, the hindrances, the problems, the good, the bad, all of it, we're fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. It's telling us in all things, look to and look at Jesus. What does God think about this issue? Well, what did Jesus say? What would God do in this situation? Well, what would Jesus do? How would God treat these kinds of people? Well, how did Jesus treat them? How much time should I devote to my pet peeve or my frustration or my the thing that angers me, the issue with society, the issue with my neighborhood, the issue with my family? How much time should I devote? How much energy should I devote to this? Well, how much time or energy did Jesus devote to these things? This is why, out of all of our values, the very first value that we have as a church, which is so important that I forgot to put it on a slide, but I can tell you what it is that we prioritize our lives around the words and the way of Jesus. This is the core of what we continue to come back to. The weight that Jesus gives something is the weight that we should give it. And as we're listening for God's voice in our lives, whether it's through people, whether it's through scriptures, whether it's through a sermon, a song, whatever it might be, we can continue to come back and filter it through the words and the way of Jesus. And this is what makes scripture so important for us. It is a primary way that we can become familiar with the purpose and the personality of Jesus. I want to say this cautiously and clearly. I already alluded to it a minute ago. But I think that there is a natural tendency for us to elevate the Bible to become the most important thing about our faith because you can touch it. You can take it with you. You can pull it off a shelf or put it back on a shelf. But Jesus is the reason we have a faith. Jesus is the reason we have a Bible. And the best way to understand who Jesus is by reading the Bible. And as we read the Bible, it should point us back to Jesus. Does that make sense? Has anybody tweeted about me yet? Angry tweets. This guy hates the Bible. That's not what I'm saying. But I think it's so easy for us to prioritize the tangible paper that we can hold in our hands. And the scriptures are absolutely God-breathed. And as it says in Timothy, useful for teaching and training and correcting and rebuking. It is absolutely crucial to who we are. And all authority in heaven and on earth wasn't given to the Bible. It was given to Jesus. And so even in the scriptures, we take scriptures and we filter them through Jesus. And in case you think that I'm crazy, Jesus said that we should do it. He told the Pharisees, he said, hey, you search the scriptures trying to find the source of life, but they all point to me. And after the resurrection, he walked with a couple disciples on the road to Emmaus that didn't recognize that it was Jesus. And they were talking about how sad they were. And the scripture tells us in Luke 22 or 23, I believe it is, that Jesus went through showing them all of the scriptures from the law and the prophets and how they were all about him. Jesus is the source of all life, as it says in Colossians. He is the perfect representation of God. And so for us, as we're trying to navigate and filter through, what is God saying to me? How would God want me to respond? What would God want me to do? How should I treat? How should I interact? How should I care? We filter it through Jesus. And we can learn what Jesus' voice sounds like by spending time in the scriptures, in the gospels. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Scientifically speaking, sheep are about the dumbest animals out there. But there was this understanding that they had, a familiarity that they had with their shepherd's voice. And so for us to have a sense of confidence in what we're hearing from God, do we have a familiarity with God's voice? Do we know what God's voice might sound like? Do we have a sense? It's like, yeah, that sounds like something that Jesus would say. That looks like something that Jesus would do, that he would be for. I wonder if in our own hearts and minds, if we've actually given all of that authority to Jesus. The repetition is how we become more familiar with Christ's voice in our lives. And if we're honest, every single one of us has opinions and preferences and desires that contradict what Jesus wants for our lives. I do, you do, we all do. And we need to take these things and we need to hold them up to what Christ is calling us to. And so practically speaking, we're going to pray in just a minute, but I want to give you guys something practical this week to do. I would love for you to read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 this week. Now, I know it's a holiday week and we're all off on Tuesday. Just kidding, not everybody's off. But I believe that we can do this. In fact, I believe that most of us could probably read these three chapters every day this week. The reason why I picked these chapters is because this is the Sermon on the Mount. This is the longest collection of Jesus teaching us his desires, of what the kingdom of God looks like, of what it looks like for us to live that out here on earth. And there's a lot in these chapters that you probably will look at and be like, yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot that you might look at and be like, well, that hurts a little. That's uncomfortable for me. That's different than my normal go-to. I want us to spend time, and whether you read these chapters each day, whether you just take time to read through this portion this week, I want you to take time to do this. And then I want you to write down a phrase from these chapters that stands out to you. And I want you to take the action step of doing this because I want you to find something that maybe causes you to take a moment or maybe makes you uncomfortable. And I want you to write it down, and I would love for you to put that piece of paper in your pocket. Or if you want to do things digitally, you can turn it into a wallpaper on your phone or some sort of reminder, because it's so crucial for us to continue to take our thoughts, our words, and our actions and see, do these line up with the words and the way of Jesus. This is the filter that we can hold on to when we're trying to understand if something is good or right in our lives. What would it look like for us to prioritize hearing from our Heavenly Father? Maybe it's taking some time, silence and solitude, and asking God to speak to us. Maybe it's taking some time to get involved in a small group or some relationships and talking about what we're learning spiritually. Maybe it's understanding that God is constantly speaking to us, and there's an invitation for us to say yes and to listen. Let's pray together. Well, regardless of where you may be at in your faith journey, I believe that everyone has a next step that they can take. If you'd like more information about what it means to put your trust in Jesus, information about getting baptized, or maybe even attending a Discover class to grow more in your faith, you can visit us online at southhills.org/Costa Mesa, and then scroll down to the Next Steps section. If you'd like more information about tithing or supporting South Hills financially, you can visit southhills.org/giving. Thanks again for listening today, and I hope that I get to see you soon.